Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, and on myjoyonline.com. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana, including Radio Sangmaliwa, Radio Jubilee, Keta, and Bupe FM Bupe. We're also live on X Spaces and on Facebook. And the Midday News is sponsored by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol, always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duroplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HD pipes and water tank, the only water storage tank with a level indicator where Duroplus goes, water flows. Coming up, cocoa production decline cost Ghana $500 million as reports emerge of Russian involvement in cross-border smuggling with Ghanaian collaborators.
We have some Russians there. When they get the cocoa, they go to the market, they can sell it at $10,000. We have national wreckers in this country who are buying from the farmers.
Who are these nations? You know the nation, these nation wreckers who are...
We've been arresting them.
Well, we have more as the Cocoa Board blames severe weather conditions for the current state of cocoa farms. We'll interrogate this. Also coming up, mixed reactions greets government's intent to introduce a free senior high school bill to bind future governments.
There are a lot of challenges facing the free senior high school program. Government is owing WAEC.
You can't say that because they owe WAEC, they shouldn't do a policy on free SHS.
We'll hear from the former rector of GEMPA, Professor Stephen Adey, asking for restraint, urging stakeholder consultation to access its feasibility.
Whatever the law is, if it comes out, it will give some of us an opportunity to know what the government is thinking about, what they were putting forward. Then we will either ask them to be treated, opposed, or rejected.
Also, locked up investment bondholders forum on the streets of Accra demanding payment from government.
We will come here until we see demand of our payment.
The impudence and then the arrogance on the part of the Minister of Finance is very, very disappointing.
We have more from that in sports.
In the next edition of the African Cup of Nations in Morocco could start in mid-December. We'll tell you why in a bit.
And later in an exciting new development, the Recording Academy, famous for the Grammy Awards, is expanding its support to music creators worldwide, now extending its reach to Ghana and other African countries.
So I think that, you know, the Grammys come in on the continent will do several things: cultural recognition and promotion at the global stage.
These are more coming up in this afternoon's bulletin. Please stay for details. The Ghana Cocoa Board has revealed a decrease in cocoa production in the first quarter of 2024 compared to last year, resulting in a fall in revenue by more than $500 million. But this afternoon, it is emerging some Russians working with their Ghanaian counterparts are buying cocoa beans from farmers and selling them on the black market. Chief Executive Officer at Cocoa Board, Joseph Boyin Adu, said though there have been some arrests, the practice, if not permanently handled, will have dire consequences for the sector in the future. He spoke on the Super Morning Show.
Sharing border of Cote d'Ivoire. We have some Russians there. And then in Togo. And they are buying, they want to buy the cocoa spot. They sell spot. They have nothing to lose. They don't spray, they don't buy chemicals for farmers. They are not providing any extension services for farmers, nothing. So they can afford to sell spot. When they get the cocoa, they go to the market, they can sell it at $10,000.
And our farmers are selling to them?
It's not our farmers. We have, you know, national wreckers in this country who are buying from the farmers. No farmer can smuggle more than 100 bags, not even 10, 20 bags across the border. No farmer. Because ordinarily, a farmer will have about 10
nation,
bags.
You know the nation, these nation wreckers who are...
We've been arresting them. Some have been imprisoned. And you know, the minimum distance is 5 years. 5 years, but still they're there.
So this year you're making losses?
It's not from April to September.
So April to September?
It's April to September, you know, that is when we are migrating, transitioning from the main crop to the lack of. The volumes are not that much.
Okay.
And we felt instead of letting our farmers suffer. But again, the national interest versus public interest comes in. You have people coming to buy cocoa cheaply, $1,800 from September. And then you come to April, you are selling the cocoa at the same price. And these miscreants, you know, they come in, buy the cocoa cheaply from the farmers, go and sell at very, very high prices across the border to, you know, these black market people. They are black marketing cocoa. Mm. For them to go and then make money out of that. So if we said, no, let's adjust it.
Well, Dr. Boainedu also blamed extreme weather conditions for the low production being experienced in the country.
First, you have the, you know, the structural problems. Climate change, of course, is number one. And then illegal mining. Mm-hmm. Then of late, smuggling is also another factor. All these are affected. Okay. But what has really affected our production significantly this year? Yes, our production is down this year, very, very down. You know, can be attributed to what we call El Nino effect.
Which is?
El Nino. El Nino is extreme weather condition. You know, it's extreme heat waves generated in the Pacific Ocean, and depend upon where it is blowing. If it is, you know, moving across dry areas, it will bring dryness. If it is moving across, you know, water bodies, it will bring wetness. And last year, unfortunately for us, whereas the Mediterranean, Spain, and other places, we had a lot of wildfires, we were experiencing excessive rainfall. Excessive. And cocoa doesn't lack too much water. When there is too much rain and the soil is waterlocked, the root hairs cannot, you know, extract nutrients.
Okay.
So we lost almost every flower.
Joseph Boainedu is CEO at CocoaBot, but are these reasons enough to justify the loss of $500 million just in the first quarter of 2024? Joining us is Dr. Charles Nyaba to explore more on this. Mr. Nyaba, we're grateful for your time on the Midday News. While Russians collaborating with some Ghanaians to smuggle cocoa, extreme weather conditions, are these enough reasons to justify the low production in the cocoa sector?
No, I disagree with that. Yeah, you see, this is because if the CEO is saying that farmers have to sell to this merchant that he described them, why would anybody sell to somebody if the person is not offering prices which are better than another person? So it is clear that all what we've been saying, the cocoa board has been shortchanging farmers with the prices they give them. He just come to confirm it. Now, when you talk about marketing issues, it's different from production. If production increase, it has got nothing to do with the smuggling he's talking about. But the production itself is going down. And it's going down because cocoa board failed to motivate farmers. They failed to incentivize farmers. And the government itself failed to control the illegal mining and cutting down for cocoa farms, confiscating farms from cocoa farmers and using it for galante and other mining activities. These are the underlying factors. If you talk of climate change, it's happening everywhere across all the crops. We don't deny that climate change is in. We can't predict the weather. We can't predict when the rainfall is coming. Yes, that's time. But it cuts across all the commodities, not only cocoa. And it's not only 2024. It has been there for the past decade. So for us, we think that cocoa board needs to do a lot. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't focus on when there's increase in global prices. They just save the benefit to only their workers and incentivize only cocoa board, ignoring the farmers. You talk about giving inputs. What inputs were given to us in 2023?
Mm.
Nothing. Farmers invest their own resources in buying fertilizer, in hiring labor, okay, to produce cocoa. So if by your own failure you refuse to incentivize farmers and they have to sell to people who pay them, you have no cause to complain.
Well, Dr. Nyaba, with these collective factors and not just financial motivation, are these leading to a collapse of the sector?
Obviously, if you look at the extent to which cocoa farms are being converted to galactoside, okay, and the fact that farmers are losing interest, farmers are motivated in farming cocoa. Some of them are now going into cashew production. Others prefer to do 30 trading, prefer to farming. And if they have opportunities to sell their cocoa farm to guarantee it, most farmers prefer to do that because the cocoa board and the government is not motivating them enough. And these are the fundamental factors that we will expect cocoa board to do that. Previously, cocoa board used to supply agrochemicals, they used to supply pesticides, they used to supply fertilizer to farmers for free. It is not the case. And now the cost of all these inputs is going up. So if farmers will have to struggle like this, and when there's global increase in cocoa prices, cocoa board will give less than 10% to the farmer and the rest will remain with them. What do you expect the farmer to do?
Well, let's leave it here. Dr. Charles Nyaba is formerly of the Peasant Farmers Association. Let's stay a while longer on financial issues. Ghana has formalized an agreement with its official creditor committee to implement a debt restructuring arrangement initially established in January 2024. This move is a step towards the release of additional funding from the IMF. The committee, co-chaired by China and France, have agreed on the debt treatment of $5.4 billion. However, each member of the committee is yet to sign the memorandum of understanding by their respective procedures. Here's Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam.
That we have moved beyond agreement in principle. As of 3rd May 2024, we officially received the draft memorandum of understanding from the official creditor committee. The government, therefore, with support from our financial and legal advisors, will quickly review this draft agreement with a view to finalizing and signing the agreement with the OCC as soon as possible. And so for all of those who have been waiting and waiting, and as of, I believe last week, I read from the front pages indicating that Ghana received the draft MOU. I can imagine your anticipation. And so I'm happy to say that we have now formally received the draft MOU, and we are going to work harder and quickly to round up the negotiation and sign the MOU.
And you heard the Finance Minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam. Well, my colleague Isaac Ofeje joins me in studio with more on this development. Isaac, agreement reached, but what's in it for Ghana?
Well, Mami, this means Ghana will have a debt servicing holiday until 2026, but there will be no debt forgiveness like we had under the HIPIC program.
Okay.
The current bilateral debt of $5.4 billion will be repaid in two tranches, 16 and 17 years. Debt from last year will be repaid in 2039 and 2040. While the service of debt due next year will be paid by 2040 and 2041, Mami.
Right. Does this have any impact on the ongoing negotiations with Eurobond and commercial creditors?
Well, definitely. The terms agreed with the bilateral creditors will now provide an outline for how the talks with Eurobond creditors will pan out. And this is based on a principle called comparability of treatment. Now, Mami, remember in October last year, Ghana proposed as much as 40% haircut.
Yeah.
And a lower coupon of 5% on its $13 billion Eurobond debt. Now, but this bold proposal could be influenced by the terms of the agreement reached with the official creditors currently.
Thank you so much. Isaac Ofeje is with our research desk. Now, it's Wednesday, and members of the Locked Up Investment Bondholders Forum are on the streets of Accra demanding payments of their funds from government. The members, mostly retirees, say government has shown no urgency in resolving their concerns despite several assurances.
Yes, we are here today, and we'll be here to next week and next week after until the government hears to our cry. Already, we have seen some signs already that they are going to pay us by just probably a rhetoric, political rhetoric. We will come here until we see demand of our payment. Yes, so we are coming back, and in fact, we are intensifying the campaign. And next week, this place will be power packed. We are determined to pack this place with our members.
You said you've seen signs. What are those signs?
Well, the presidential candidate of MPP, Alhaji Bawumia, has indicated that the Ministry of Finance is making plans to pay customers of local funds. Whether it is just political platitude or something in reality, we are yet to see. Okay. And other political candidates have started talking. And we are in election year. So nobody would like to, you know, relax for this to become a political, you know, game.
Then November, we said until November, because December we will not pick it because of the elections and the Christmas. If our matter is not resolved after New Year, we will continue.
Well, my colleague Kenneth Jesse walked with them and joins me for more on this. Kenneth, where did they end the match?
Well, they ended at the finance ministry, as they always do. They started from NDK Finance, which is one of the four institutions that owe them huge sums of money. They finally ended at the finance ministry, Mamisi.
Did they meet the finance minister?
Unfortunately, they did not meet the finance minister. Now, when they got here, the two officials from the Ministry of Finance walked them into the premises, spoke with them, and then the assurance was that the finance minister and his deputy were engaged in a meeting outside the premises of the finance ministry, and that if the meeting finishes before midday, they will make time and meet them. But the investment forum holders are also saying that at midday, when they do not finish that meeting, they will disperse, which is what has happened. So by midday, the finance minister nor his deputy, the meeting that they say they are engaged in wasn't done, so they were not able to meet any of them. So they say they will go and come back next week, Wednesday.
Well, you also spoke to some of them on how the NAN release is impacting on their lives.
Yes. These are mostly pensioners, you know, who have gone on pension for some years now. Some say they are diabetic, hypertensive, asthmatic, and these are funds they wished would have been available to them to access health care. And now that they don't have it, it's become a problem and it's intensifying their health care.
From the Voter Rebel Authority, I've been working for 35 years. In fact, all money's been made. I actually deposited it to the investment bank. That along the line, as a woman, I will need money. I just want to live a good life after retirement. So I worked hard to get my money there. But since then, for the past 8 years, I've been continuing it. And it's impacting my life. See?
And you heard the reactions from investment bondholders who picketed the finance ministry today. Now to education. There's been mixed reactions to government's intent to pass a free senior high school bill that seeks to implement the free senior high school policy binding on successive governments. Majority Leader Alexander Afenyo-Markin, who announced the plan, indicated a finalized bill is ready for presentation by the Education Minister, Dr. Yaose Duchum. But the minority is opposed to the move. They want government to rather prioritize funding the relevant agencies to improve the quality of senior high school education. Listen to Ranking Member on Parliament's Education Committee, Peter Nochukotoy.
The decision to come to Parliament with a bill is a misplaced priority. Misplaced priority because there are a lot of challenges now facing the free senior high school program. Government is owing WAEC over 224 million Ghana cedis for the conduct of examinations. For this year, those who are going to write the WASE in August, government has not released even one CG to WAEC to organize the examination. They are supposed to give WAEC 178 million Ghana cedis. They have not given one peswa. And WAEC is losing seasoned examiners because of this.
Well, the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, has welcomed the move, arguing it will ensure sustainability and less political interference in the free senior high school policy. Reverend Isaac Owusu is NAT president.
Yes, it is good because we are tired as policy implementers. Here I'm referring to teachers, that any time successive government come, because the promises were made on partisan politics basis through their manifesto, they decide to do things anyhow. But if there are a law, collectively make sure that whichever government that comes to power will do the right. So for me, I think that, yes, it is very important for us to have an enactment that will direct the successive government as to how we should go about this free secondary school policy.
Well, his colleague at NAGRA, Angel Cabanu, is however worried about the political capital government wants to make out of the intended free SHS bill.
And for us to be told right now that it is going to Parliament to see whether the opposition in Parliament is going to raise an objection to it so that we create a political cacophony once again on a very important issue begs the resilient issues that are being raised on the basis.
According to Professor George Kweku Toku Odro of the Education Leadership at the University of Cape Coast, stakeholder consultation is needed since details of the policy has not been made public for scrutiny. Also reacting to this issue is former rector of GEMPA, Professor Stephen Adey. He's described the bill as needful, but also reiterates the opinion of Professor Toku Odro for stakeholder consultation on the bill's content.
I don't know, and nobody knows what is in the so-called bill to be put in Parliament. Every bill will have the reasons and the policies as preamble and as a result of that, what is going to be done. I am interested in seeing what they are going to put in Parliament, because as soon as they put it in Parliament, then all of us, both not only the parliamentarians, have the right to submit our own memoranda as to what to be done, and if he takes it away from the bosom of the government.
And that's former GEMPA Rector, Professor Stephen Adey, bringing us to a break on the midday news here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll return with sports, and later, in an exciting new development, the Recording Academy, famous for the Grammy Awards, is expanding its support to music creators worldwide, now extending its reach to Ghana and other African countries.
So I think that, you know, the Grammys coming on the continent will do several things: cultural recognition and promotion at the global stage.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
The regular football season is over. No! But not for us here at SuperSport. We've got a big deal coming your way. Get connected to DStv to see some of football's biggest names starring in all 51 matches of Euro 2024, live and in HD.
That is extraordinary!
Now that's a big deal.
Welcome back to the Midday News. We have sports.
Well, the next edition of the Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco could start in mid-December to accommodate the expanded Club World Cup and the new Champions League format next year. The 2025 tournament was originally scheduled for June and July next year in an attempt to reduce scheduling conflicts with European club teams and competitions. CAF was recently forced to deny reports last week that it would move the competition to January 2026 due to the clash with the Club World Cup, which is now a 32-team competition to be held in the United States between the 15th of June and July 13 next year. A final decision is expected within the next fortnight by CAF.
Thank you so much. Now it's time for Fact Checking, and today we're focusing on a claim by the Vice President, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, on the number of Ghana cards issued. He made this claim during his interaction with the youth in Dambai on the 31st of May 2024 as part of his campaign tour in the Oti region. Now, head of our research desk, Raymond Akwa, joins me with more on the claim and the verdict. What exactly did the Vice President say about Ghana card, Raymond?
The MPP presidential aspirant claimed that the number of Ghana cards issued by the National Identification Authority is 17.6 million.
Today, we have issued Ghana cards to 17.6 million adult Ghanaians.
And what's the verdict?
Now, Let's break it down this way.
Okay.
The vice president's claim is contradicted by the official data available on the website of the National Identification Authority.
Okay.
The NIA's official data states that the total registration of as of 24th May 2024 stood at 17,920,903, with 17,793,172 being printed. The data further states that the total number of Ghana cards issued as of the 24th of May 2024 were 17,183,090. That's 17.18 million,
right,
which is below the 17.6 million stated by the flag bearer of the NPP. Again, if you take the other figure, which was released by the same institution on June 4th, 2024,
right,
as that's 4 days after the claim was made, the total number of Ghana cards issued was 17,193,142. Which is still below the 17.6 million stated by the flag bearer of the NPP.
Right.
Of course, in between the 24th of May and the 4th of June, the total number of cards that were issued was 10,052. And there's no evidence that the NIA has issued 17.6 million cards.
Thank you so much, Raymond Akwa, head of our research desk. Now, the Ministry of Health has given assurances of clearing TB and malaria medication stuck at the port within 1 week. Now, the 118 containers of essential malaria TB medications arrived in October last year, despite government assurances, outstanding damage and third-party charges totaling 7 million CDs have left the containers stuck, risking expiration. Samuel Hackman is the head of Global Fund Coordinating Mechanism Secretariat in Ghana.
And it's also denting the relationship that we have with the Global Fund as a country.
Can we say in specific terms that this is going to make the Global Fund withdraw its assistance for Ghana when it comes to drug procurement?
There's no mention of words about that. They have stated it categorically to us that they would have done that earlier, but for the long-standing relationship, they will want to hold on and see the promises that we have put on the table, whether we'll be able to fulfill them or not, and it is within a specified time.
Well, the public relations officer of the Ministry of Health, Isaac Bar Ofe, says the ministry has received the needed funding from government to clear the medication within a week.
We had a lot of challenges, which the somewhere around April there had been a tripartite committee between Ministry of Health, Ministry of Finance, and the Revenue Authority. Now look, these drugs are coming to government. Government is the one to receive money in terms of clearance and all that. So let's have a way of taking them out. And we've taken them out. These are tapers a lot. That subsequent drugs that are coming in, we're not facing those challenges again. So what we can talk about now is the old ones that are locked up. But apart from that, this year we've received a number of commodities from Global Fund, which we've cleared as a result of the committee's standing decisions that took place in April. So we believe that when we are able to clear these ones also as well, then that challenge would not occur itself again.
Away from health, the Recording Academy, the powerhouse behind the Grammy Awards, is expanding its support to music creators worldwide, including Ghana and other African countries. This exciting move follows the recent introduction of the Best African Music Performance category at the Grammys. President of Grow Unite Build Africa, Guba, and senior advisor to the president of the Recording Academy, Lady Denta Amwating, who has been an advocate for this initiative, has been sharing the opportunities this will bring to the Ghanaian musicians. My colleague Jacqueline Ansumayabwa has more on this report.
Earlier this year, the Grammy Awards took a bold step by introducing the Best African Music Performance category. This new category featured some of Afrobeat global superstars, marking a significant win for African music. The Recording Academy saw this as a vital move to recognize and celebrate the diversity and influence of African artists worldwide. Riding on the success of this new category, the Academy has now announced its expansion into Ghana and other African countries and the Middle East. This exploration is just the first of a grand plan to support music creators globally. The president of Grow Unite Build Africa and senior advisor to the president and CEO of the Recording Academy, Lady Denta Amwaten MBE, has been a key advocate for this initiative. In